So here's a question. What is koinonia? Koinonia is a Greek word which means fellowship. But it's much more than fellowship. It's friendship. It's much more than friendship. It's a thing where we are connected as believers to one another because of Jesus Christ. It is an intimate relationship that believers have because of Jesus Christ. A good definition of koinonia is being committed to each other as we are to Jesus Christ. So we need to be committed to each other like we are to Jesus Christ. That is a great definition of koinonia. The word koinonia appears 20 times in the scriptures. The first place we get to this word of koinonia is in Acts 2 verse 42, which is a well-known scripture to any believer. Even a one-week-old believer will know the scripture. This is a key scripture for any Christian when it comes into the life of church. Acts 2 verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The word here, fellowship, is a key aspect for Christians and the Christian life. Believers are to come together in faith, in love and encouragement. The essence of koinonia. We need to understand, because of Jesus Christ, we can have this fellowship with one another. Let's read in Philippians 2, verse 1 to 2. Philippians 2, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Koinonia is being one mind, united in purpose, serving alongside each other. Our koinonia with one another is based on the common koinonia we have with Jesus Christ. And we can see that in the scripture in 1 John 1, verse 6 to 7. It's not on there, but I'll just go for it. If we say that we have 1 John 1:6-7, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 7 says, have fellowship with one another. That sentence right there should be more than enough for us to understand the thing of having koinonia with one another. It should be a motivational verse right there to tell us to start pushing into the thing of koinonia. But scripture speaks about one another a lot, that we need to do a lot of things to with one another. So let's look at how we can build healthy, committed relationships together with one another. To do koinonia together, we must be, point number one, devoted. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Me and Mary Lee, we've been married for almost 6 years now. We've known each other for 10 years. And since the beginning of our relationship, the thing of devotion to each other was very important. The way I am devoted to her and the way she is devoted to me is a key thing in our relationship. Because if I was the only one devoted to Mary Lee, where is this relationship going to go? And that's why fellowship and koinonia with one another is devoted from both sides. Exactly the same with us and God. If our relationship, the word says, come closer to me and I will come closer to you, in James. And that's exactly the same thing with us as believers, with that fellowship. We must be a people that literally pour out ourselves for each other. Because that's something the world doesn't see. Point number two, and to be affectionate and honoring. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. That word brotherly love in the King James Version is affection, which in the Greek word is this word philostrochos. How do you like that? Which means kindly. Kindly. It doesn't mean huggy, touchy, kissy type. It means kindly, to be kind to one another. We need to honor one another. The Greek word for that is timai. The meaning of timai is value. It's literally currency, but it's a currency that you can't afford. It's pricelessness. We need to be kindly to each other, but also treat each other like you are priceless. Turn to one another and just tell them you are priceless. Tell them you are valuable. And point number three, to do koinonia together, we must live in harmony and with one another. Romans 12 verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. The King James Version says, speak of one mind and do not look down on one another. Just clearly, do not look down on one another. A man that had a great influence in my life, he said this one day. He said, wherever you go to a home group, wherever you go to a mission field, wherever you go in life, even if you just go to the shop to buy bread, he says, remember this one thing. Never look down on people. Always lift them up. And if that is our view towards the world, how much more should our view be towards each other? We should lift each other up. Always look up to each other. Lift one another up. First Peter 3 verse 8 to 9 says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit blessing. We need to be of one mind and we need to have compassion to one another. When I came to a church, that was the church I got saved in, the first thing that people ask me is, where am I from? What do I do? Where do I stay? And how did I get here? And then I met the second person and they ask me, where am I from? What do I do? Where do I stay? And how did I get here? And it was probably 5 to 6 people that all asked me the exact same question. All those people, that whole congregation was of one mind. And right there, when people was brought to Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit, when you bow your knee, the first thing they say is, welcome, brother. And the next person meets you, says, welcome, brother. They all had this one thing in mind. They were all one in heart. And that's for us exactly the same thing, friends. When we go out, or when we are here, we should all be of one mind. Point number four, accept one another. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God, to be just like Jesus. The church, or the church of Jesus Christ, is the place, and it's the only place in the world that I know of, where people of different languages, people from different cultures, people from different backgrounds, people from different sizes, length, tall, whatever, people from around the world. He's got real cultural differences. French, Germans. You can bring all types of Irish, British. Bring them all together in the world. And there will be one big fight. But if you bring them into this one place where Jesus is, there is harmony. They accept one another. Why? Because of Jesus. The koinonia we have with Jesus automatically flows in having the koinonia with one another. That is the power of Jesus Christ. People can't explain it. They can't explain it. It's Jesus Christ. But friends, we need to accept one another. I am different. I definitely preach different from Malcolm. Even my accent is different. I look definitely different. It's okay, Malcolm. You don't need to feel bad. Michelle and Lynn, they are different. Andrea and Kata, even though they can speak the same language, they are different. And we need to rejoice in those things. We need to accept each other for those things. Jesus accepted tax collectors, prostitutes, homeless, the religious people, all of them. Other religions of the world, they try to change people before they can even get into religion. Into that religion. With Christianity, you come as you are. That should all be our attitude to each other. The only thing that will make the change in our lives is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. We just need to be there and accept one another for who we are. Number 5. Serve one another. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather serve one another in love. When we serve one another in love, we bring glory to God. We bring glory to God. That preach we did a while back, praise, thanksgiving, and worship. That rainbow. When we do those things, we are filling this rainbow. We are bringing glory to God. I love this church. This is a church that serves each other and serves the community. You know of any other people that loves going to the airport like Errol and Michelle? And you try give them money for fuel and they give you this look. Like you are going to insult them now. They even buy you bread and milk. We have people in the church that look after our kids. They bless us. They are serving us. We are constantly hearing reports of how people are serving each other in this church. And I want to say thank you. Because that is what this word, this Holy Scripture teaches us. When Mary Lee was pregnant, after she had Ariana, I felt like I'm going to eat every night at a different hotel. I couldn't wait for that doorbell to go. What's tonight? Oxtail. Next night, lasagna. I'm like, jeez, just bring it. And don't need to worry. I'll put the dishes in the dishwasher. But we have a culture here. And I want to commend you. And I want to encourage you to keep on going for it. To serve each other. Point number 6. Be compassionate and forgiving to one another. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ forgave you. When me and my brother grew up, we stayed literally just across the, you know, the passage or the hall from each other. But after a while, you start getting used to each other. And your grace is a lot less for each other. Like when my brother uses my bike and he doesn't clean it. And I want to use my bike and I see it's dirty. Who wants to go and visit his girlfriend with a dirty bike? You get upset. You get upset. The worldly view is not to forgive that person, but to teach him a lesson. The worldly view is not to have compassion on his situation, when he takes your bike again and he falls and you start laughing at him. No. In church, we should help him up after we laugh at him. No, I'm joking. We should help him up and we should have grace for each other. Because the world out there, there's no grace. There's no compassion. There's no forgiveness. But right here, we should have forgiveness and compassion. Not just for the world, but for each other. Point number 7. Colossians 3:16, before I read that, is to admonish one another. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. Admonish means to reprove, to correct one another out of the word of God. We should be open, friends, to be corrected out of the word of God. We should have a culture where one person, one brother to a brother and a sister to a sister can openly go and say, listen, my friend, did you see this in the scripture? We should be open to receive it. Not have this, my wife, she says, sometimes I've got the sign on my head, stay away from me. What are you looking at? Who do you think you are? I've got a couple of signs popping out of my head. But one thing I really appreciate for my wife is she's dead honest with me. And she won't just tell me because she feels this is the right thing. If she sees it in this word, she will show me. And that hits home. And that makes me change. I want to ask you tonight, are you at that place where a person in this church or this congregation can come and speak into your life? One of the greatest moments in my life was when I went to a friend and I said, if you look into my life today, what do you see that is not according to this Bible? And he looked at me and there was two options for him. He could have given me a big smile. He could have said, you're doing great, mate. And we could have drank our coffee and went home. But he decided to say, my friend, let me show you something. And he showed me out of the word of God things that I needed to get out and sort out in my life. And we met up regularly. That's a continual thing. And he asked me one day, and I thought, now it's payback time. No, I'm joking. And he asked me one day, but it's amazing, amazing ability there. But it's koinonia. You can only have it here because of Jesus. It's the only reason we have that. It's because of Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. When I heard the word rebuking, my hair stood up. Don't say that. It is a great thing, but it takes a lot of courage for somebody to come and speak into your life. And we should honor that. And we should thank those people that is able to fear God more than they fear you. And point number 8, encourage one another. 1 Thessalonica 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. I want to encourage you with this. That when we start encouraging people, we start encouraging them into the potential that they have in Jesus Christ. Older men, I'm 30 years old, I'll say it. I'm in between you. I'm not old. I'm also not young. Older people see me as young. Younger people see me as old. So I'm in between. So I can say this tonight. Older men, I want to encourage you. I want to hit this drum as hard as I can. Encourage younger men. Because I'm still young, but I was a real young man. And it's because of encouragement that through the tough times, I could push through. Them encouraging me, just keep, stand strong. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. And older ladies, encourage younger ladies. And younger ladies, be open for encouragement. Because I know it's like, I spent time with the youth. You encourage them. Aye. Just the water off a duck's back. But it goes in. It goes in there. It does go in. And I want to encourage you to be a people that encourage. Even though you don't think it's going in, or it's going in but it's going out. Encourage. Number 9, offer hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. My wife pulled out this scripture to me one day. Because I used to say, this was when I was still a young believer. Why do you want to invite these people? She said, well, nobody's inviting us, so we might as well just invite people. And we shouldn't grumble about it. So I said, close that Bible, it's okay. Give them a call, say it's fine to come. But here's the thing. I went to this teaching one day, and this lady, she was a real hospitable person. And she said these words. She said, we who are called the chosen generation, we who are called children of God, we have no excuse of being hospitable. Even if you have a slice of toast and a glass of water and you give it to somebody, that is hospitable. Well, for me, I'm a man of the word. So if I don't see it in the word, I don't do it. So God gave me the scripture. In Hebrews 13:12, it says, do not forget to entertain strangers. For by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Again, this church is amazing, amazing, amazing in hospitality. Thank you, Lord. And I want to commend you. Gareth and Andrea, they meet this random stranger just off Princess Street. This guy lost his money. I would be, oh, buddy, you're just playing me. You want to come rob my house. And what do? They take him in. They give him a bed. They give him food. They give him money. They give him coffee. Something that's very, very expensive. But what do? They take in a stranger into their house. I want to encourage you and I want to thank you for being Koinonia, for being hospitable. I can't say it. Point number 10, and I'm coming to a close. Love one another. Agape love. 1 Corinthians 13:2 says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I have nothing. There's an amazing guy in the Bible. He used to be the best friend of Jesus. His name was John. He written the book, the letter of John, the Gospel of John. Then he written 1, 2, and 3 John. When he written those books, he was 90 years old. So he's got a bit of experience behind him. He's got a bit of life skills in him. He wrote this book. If you go read that book, he's quite honest and dead to the point. But there's a couple of scriptures that I just want to read out to you. That really, encouraged my heart. And the first one is in 1 John 3:11. It says, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. And that love is a sacrificial love. And that's exact same love at Koinonia, a thing of pouring ourselves out for each other. I read a thing the other day on the martyrs, and they caught this one Chinese guy in China, and they said, we're going to kill you and your whole family if you do not tell us where you and your church meet. And he said, for this will be the day that I will be with the Lord. And they killed him right there and his family. He loved this church. He loved this king. That Koinonia right there and right there. When this is in place, this will happen naturally. 1 John 4:7 says, dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Just say that. Love comes from God. Okay, thank you. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. 1 John 3:23 says, and this is the command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He loves us. So we, who are the church, we can do koinonia together by devoting ourselves to each other, to be affectionate and honoring, to live in harmony with one another, to accept one another, to serve one another in love, to be compassionate and forgiving to one another, to admonish one another, to encourage one another, and offer hospitality, but most important of all, to love one another. For me, that's more or less a summary of koinonia. Thank you.